Okay, my little helper does her duties and scurries off in her shyness to go downstairs and read her Bible. Yeah, she tried to be quiet. That's the door closing. It's just June the cat and I upstairs. All right, Mystery Babylon. We're on lesson number 18. And it was a great day today in fellowship with the brethren. You know, Sundays we have our fellowship. And what a great day it was. Praise the Lord. Okay, Isaiah chapter 27. Remember what we're doing. We're gathering evidence regarding Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Also, the fellowship on Facebook has been outstanding. It's just been going on for a week now, and what a great time I've had with everyone. If you go to our website, thescripturesalonebibleschool.net, you can see the fellowship group on Facebook. And if you want to be part of it, you have to be on Facebook. You just send me a request. But there's three things you got to believe now. You got to be saved, obviously, according to Romans 3, not according to your brain. And you have to have, there's June the cat upset that she can't go downstairs. And you have to also believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, as taught by God in that book. And you have to believe in God's establishment commandment, because this fellowship is one where unity is there. And I encourage you, if you believe those three things and you want to join, hey, get a simple Facebook account. If you're on YouTube watching this, you can get a Facebook account. And it's called the Scriptures Alone Bible School Fellowship. It is under the groups. You got to search for it under groups. Okay. All right. Isaiah chapter 27. Isaiah chapter 27. What we're doing here, remember, is gathering evidence regarding Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And as we gather all this evidence regarding the mother, we're starting to see the mother taking shape and form throughout all the dispensations of God. And it's just phenomenal as all this evidence starts to mount, all this doctrinal evidence. And we're coming up to our great sections in the Word of God regarding this mother. And remember, when we get to the New Testament, it is far more subtle and conniving and deceiving than you could ever imagine compared to the Old. The Old is the framework, but the mother is more actively involved today than ever. Okay, Isaiah chapter 27, let's look at verse 9. By this, therefore, shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged. And this is all the fruit to take away his sin, when he maketh all the stones of the altar as chalk stones that are beaten in sunder. The groves and images shall not stand up. Great passage regarding future restoration. Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28, look at verse 14. Isaiah 28, look at verse 14. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord. Cats are crazy. June, get out of there. Isaiah 28, look at verse 14. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, watch this, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Look at this big clue regarding the mother. Now, do you really think that Israel said, hey, we're going to make a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement? That's not what they said, but in reality, that's what they did. When they then made lies their refuge, and under falsehood, they hid themselves. Lies and falsehoods. You make a covenant with death. At hell, with hell, you're in agreement. Now think about that for a moment today. Launch forward hundreds and thousands of years to today. I assure you this, and I don't care whether anybody believes it or not. If you make and read these new Bibles, which are filled with lies and falsehoods, that's what you're doing. I don't care if you say you're not, you are. Because all Israel did is make a covenant with death and with hell are we at agreement. That's all they did. Because of what? when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. All those new Bibles are filled with lies, falsehoods, like Mark chapter 1, verse 2. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, those Bibles say. No, it's not. Verse 2 is not written in Isaiah. How about Hebrews 3:16, where it says everybody rebelled in all those new Bibles? No, they didn't. Joshua and Caleb were faithful, and the children, 19 years old and younger, did not rebel. What about where it says in Samuel that Elhanan killed Goliath? Okay, that's a lie. Elhanan killed the brother of Goliath. So there's dozens and dozens more of these lies. So when you read these other Bibles, that's what the mother's doing today. And people say, that's not true, that's ridiculous, that's the most absurd thing I ever heard. Oh, really? Well, you're reading a counterfeit book that's put out by Satan that's filled with lies, and that's where you make your refuge. Under falsehood, you hide yourself. You hide yourself in that book, and you're going to get exactly what Israel got, except yours is coming spiritually. And here's the difference. You have no clue that this is happening to you. None. None. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, look at verse 22. Isaiah 30, 22. Ye shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver and the ornament of thy molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a menstruous cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. That's how it is when you cast it away as a menstruous cloth. So God is comparing here images of silver and molten images of gold as menstruous cloths. And just get rid of it. There's nothing. There's no profit in a menstruous cloth. So, that's pretty horrible. Nice illustration too, huh? Isaiah 31, look at verse 6. Isaiah 31, 6. Turn ye unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. Deeply revolted. For in that day every man shall cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which your own hands have made unto you for a sin. There's a day coming where man is just going to cast away all those idols of silver, those idols of gold. All right, Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Now here, if you want a great study one day, by the way, if you read Isaiah's chapter 40 through 48, okay? All of those chapters, chapter 40 through 48, that's 9 chapters. God speaks more of himself in the first person there. That's a huge section of scripture where God talks about himself in the first person. If you really want to know about your Father in heaven, you read that, you'll learn so much about his personality, okay? Isaiah, that's just a side note, but let's stick with what we're doing now. Isaiah chapter 40, look at verse 18. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished, you see, that's the type of people that worship these images. Right there, he is just hanged the title on every Roman Catholic and every other religion in the world that has their images. Look at this. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Isaiah 41. You notice why there's not a lot of expounding here, because the verse says what it means and means what it says. And you know what makes me laugh? The past two oracles, you know, you can look on it on YouTube, how many people have viewed it and all that stuff. Two people, for the first time ever in the history of mystery, Babylon, gave it 2 thumbs down. What? I'm just reading the verses. What's to give a thumbs down about? You don't like it? Or maybe you didn't like the fact that I named Eric John Phelps a heretic. I find it coincidental that that's when it occurred. All right, Isaiah chapter 41, look at verse 29. Behold, they are all vanity. Their works are nothing. Their molten images are wind and confusion. That's what God thinks about all these idols. All right, look at chapter 42, look at verse 17. They shall be turned back They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images, that say to the molten images, ye are our gods. All right, chapter 44. Now, this is an amazing chapter here. Chapter 44, let's look at verse 9. Chapter 44, look at verse 9. They that make a graven image are all of them vanity. They that make a graven, you get this? They that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit, and they are their own witnesses, they see not nor know, that they may be ashamed. Who hath formed a god, or molten a graven image that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen, they are of men. Let them all be gathered together, let them stand up, yet they shall fear and they shall be ashamed together. The smith with the tongs both worketh in the coals, and fashioneth it with hammers, and worketh it with the strength of his arms. Yea, he is hungry, and his strength faileth. He drinketh no water and is faint. That's the guy who's making it, right? Oh, he's like a god, right? He's already tiring out. The carpenter stretcheth out his rule. He marketh it out with a line. He fitteth it with planes, and he marketh it out with the compass, and maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. He heweth him down cedars, and taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will not take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it, and baketh bread. Yea, look at this. He maketh a god, and worshipeth it. He maketh it a graven image, and falleth down thereto. He burneth part thereof in the fire, with part thereof he eateth flesh. He roasteth roast, and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself, and saith, aha, I am warm, I have seen the fire. And the residue thereof he maketh a god, even his graven image. He falleth down unto it, and worshipeth it, and prayeth unto it, and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God. Sounds just like when I was in a Catholic church praying. I can remember we had in our house this picture hanging in the living room, and our living room was a big archway. And on one side was the wall, and the other side was the wall. And my mother had a picture of Mary, okay, with the Blessed Heart of Mary, with her heart there. Another picture was Joseph. I would be on my knees. We're talking here like even when I was home on leave from the Marine Corps, I'd be on my knees and I would pray to those idols. Deceived dolt I was. Verse 18, they have not known. Now listen what God says about the people who are doing this, worshiping all these stupid wooden gods. They have not known nor understand. For he hath shut their eyes, that's God, that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. You want to search and look out and find for yourself all these idols? I'll shut your eyes. That's Romans 1 truth, by the way. Verse 19, and none considereth in his heart. None of you people that are worshiping all these images considereth in his heart. Neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say this. They don't say this. Duh, I have burned part of it in the fire. Yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof. I have roasted flesh and eaten it. And shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree? They don't think that, though. He feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? You know, I have a huge wood pile in our yard. We have a big, huge yard. And there's a wood pile out there because we have an outdoor fire pit. We have the wood stove here in the house. And I can't even imagine. This is what he's saying. If you go take one of those big hunks of wood, okay, and I'm going to carve an idol out of it. It's going to be my little tiki statue, and it's a god. I'm not considering the fact, though, that I'm warming myself with the fire by it. Okay, I'm roasting flesh on it, eating and all that. And this is my God? A deceived heart causes people to get this way. And you're saying this. Well, that's Old Testament pagan worship, and nobody does that today. Listen, The mother was doing this in those days because that would attract the masses en masse. The mother wants to get as many in as is possible lost. What the mother is doing today is worse. And billions, billions upon billions are lost. And I want to say something here and mention something. You may think, well, I'm a King James Bible believer. I'm solid. I've never been taken in by the mother or any of her policies, this great whore. I guarantee you when we get to the end, I'm going to show you that you have. Because you have a hymn book. You've sung hymns in your church building, haven't you? I guarantee you, you have sung hymns with doctrine in them that are wrong. I'm going to show you all these hymns. Doctrine that is wrong, because Paul, our apostle, says, I will sing with the understanding. Okay, you got to sing with understanding of what you're saying. And God's a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It better be truth coming out of your mouth. But you just go right along singing all these hymns, and there's horrible doctrine in them. And you just happen to like the melody. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You don't repent of your sin. Yes, Paul preached repentance to change your mind. But what do you mean repent of your sin? What do you say? Oh, wow. I'm never going to do that sin again. It doesn't matter if you changed your mind and said, I'll never sin again. But when you sing that verse in victory in Jesus, you're singing a lie. You didn't even know, did you? Because you're just tapping right along there going with the hymn. So the mother got you. Right there, sitting in a pew in a Bible church. We'll see. That's just a foretaste. It's worse. It's far worse than what I just told you. All right. Isaiah chapter 45, look at verse 20. Isaiah 45, 20. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Oh, pray unto a God that cannot save. I did that for years. Years. Okay, Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46. Now look at verse 5. To whom will ye liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? God's talking about himself. I said in the first person. They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith and he maketh it a god. They fall down. Yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him. This is their false gods. And set him in his place and he standeth. From his place shall he not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him. Yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. You see, that is so obvious how bad it is that people are praying unto these gods that they made. They can't help you. Remember the old heathen movie, The Ten Commandments? And I call it a heathen movie because never get your Bible doctrine from Cecil B. DeMille. Now, yeah, there was some cool special effects in there. But if you knew the scriptures, you can't even watch a movie like that without going crazy because that's not what happened in my Bible. They do all these fill-in things. But anyways, do you remember that movie where, I forgot what I was going to say about it. When the doctrine in the movie is so bad, and you're watching it and you're saying to yourself, wow, that's probably what happened because they do all these fill-in things. Do you remember in there... What is the thought? See? I'm glad the thought's not there, you see? The thought was so bad how the movie was, God's kicked it out of my brain. There's too many scriptures in there, it was booted out. If I think of it, I'll come across it. It was a good point, though, of an illustration. All right, but anyways, I forgot. Anyways, the heathen movie was bad. It was very bad. And, people say, oh, I really liked it, how they did things in it, and how the Lord parted the Red Sea and all that. Oh, I remember what it was now. Remember when Yul Brynner, who was Pharaoh, I think it was Yul Brynner, the bald guy, he bowed down and he's praying unto that god, that big gold god, it looked like a calf if I remember right. I haven't seen the movie in years, but he's praying unto this calf, after his son died. Remember he smote all the firstborn in Egypt in the movie? You see that? That's a good illustration of how false the gods were. They don't make movies like that today anymore in Hollywood. They got other things that are worse. All right. Isaiah 47. See, you made me put that junk back in my brain. Isaiah 47. Look at this chapter now. This is a great chapter. Watch this. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent, and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. You see what the mother was doing back then? I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke. And thou saidest, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Therefore hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, pleasures, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. Look what the mother was saying back then. It says it today too. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries. You see this trickery, these sorceries, and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. Notice that big clue. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. What does that remind you of? Does that remind you of anything? Well, let's look at two passages. Look at Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. Look at verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. He's talking to Satan. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Well, who was in the garden of God? Adam, Eve, God, and the devil. So he's talking to Satan. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Watch this. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways. Look at this. From the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Look at verse 17. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. You see that? Doesn't it sound just like this? Thy wisdom, thy beauty. Look here back in Isaiah chapter 47. Isaiah chapter 47. Look now in verse 10 so you get the context and read into it again. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. You see, it sounds just like what happened to the adversary. Look at what the mother was being involved in back then in the prophecies against her. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it riseth, and mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off. Boy, that's talking just like Revelation 17 and 18. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Stand now with thine enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorceries. This system the mother is involved in is involving in all these sorceries, this tricks and everything she does, wherein thou, that's why it's called Mystery Babylon the Great. It's a secret. You see? Multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be, thou shalt be able to profit. If so be, thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, The stargazers, the monthly prognosticators, stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble. That's all these people who try and save the mother. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. Talk about hell fire, huh? There shall not be a coal to warm it, nor fire to sit before it. Thus shall they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants from thy youth. Merchants from thy youth. Notice this, verse 15. Thus shall they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants from thy youth. They shall wander every one to his quarter, none shall save thee. Talking about Babylon in verse 1. Notice the merchants from thy youth. Babylon from her youth. Quick look over in Revelation. Go with me now to Revelation chapter 18. Watch this, what happens with the mother. Talking about merchants, okay? Okay. Verse 11. Well, look at verse 10. Yeah, verse 9. 18:9. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. Why? For no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. You see, it's more than just Roman Catholicism. The mother, the great whore, is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Vatican City is involved with all the merchants of the earth. And they sell their wares because of the policies put forth out by the mother. And it starts in verse 12, the merchandise of gold, and it ends at the end of verse 13 with the souls of men. It goes from gold and everything in between. And the last thing the mother's interested in is the souls of men. Now, look here. I want to show you something because I said it earlier. It's off the subject, but it has to do with the mother. It's the mother's subject. Remember I said that this system, since we're here, give you a little foretaste. This system, this mother's system, is responsible for every single drop of blood shed on the earth. That includes from the first blood shed where Cain killed Abel until the last blood shed, drop of blood. The mother's responsible. Look at verse 24 since you're there. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints. Notice. And of all that were slain upon the earth. All. A-L-L. That's from Cain killing Abel all the way to the last person in these unjust murders, unjust people being slain. The mother is responsible. You can't blame it on Roman Catholicism only, because Roman Catholicism wasn't here in the Old Testament. That's what the mother's involved. That's what the mother uses today as her big hammer, yes. But it's more than that. Okay, go back now to the book of Jeremiah. Now we're really going to get cooking here in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, let's see what time we got here. Ah, good, we're only at about the 29-minute mark. All right, Jeremiah chapter 1, let's look at verse 16. Now, where are we at in time? Well, it's just before Nebuchadnezzar comes in and cleans out Israel. All right, and then Jeremiah, of course, it happens when he's there. But this is just before it happens. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 16. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. Wow. Jeremiah chapter 2, look at verse 8. Jeremiah 2, look at verse 8. The priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal. So you can have pastors involved with the mother system. You can have prophets of the Lord, and that there's no more prophets today, even though Tony Mundaka, the heretic from San Antonio, says he's one. He's not. Okay, you can have prophets prophesying by Baal back then. false prophets, pastors transgressing, pastors involved with the mother system, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Now watch this. Wherefore, I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods? I mean, he's talking about the heathen nations. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? They didn't change worshiping of Ashtaroth. And that isn't even a god. So hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people, God says, Israel, have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Does that not say it all? Are y'all understanding these simple third grade English words? Verse 20. For of old time I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands, and thou saidst, I will not transgress, when upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wanderest playing the harlot. Spiritual adultery against God Almighty. Under every green tree. You remember that now, come Christmas time. We're getting to it. Look at verse 26. Verse 26. As the thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They, their kings, their princes, and their priests, and their prophets, saying to a stock, thou art my father, and to a stone, thou hast brought me forth. For they have turned their back unto me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. Yeah, then they'll call upon God when they need him. But where are thy gods that thou hast made thee, Israel? Right, huh? Let them arise if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble. For look at this. Look how sick this is. For according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. You know how many cities there were back then? That's how many gods they had. That's why you can find a Roman Catholic church on every street corner in Chicago, practically. That's why you can find Protestant churches, everyone infiltrated with the mother. It doesn't matter that it says then they're the Bible Baptist Church of Jonesboro. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. The mother is infiltrating. And it's so simple to see. Now, some have been infiltrated more than others, but she's infiltrated. Mark it down. Jeremiah chapter 3, look at verse 9. Jeremiah 3, 9. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom. Well, she didn't think it was a big deal. Big deal. That she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. Man. You know, when I read all this, I ask, why does the Lord even put up with this planet? What a great God. Chapter 5, verse 30. This, right here. I'll tell you what, you're going to read these two verses. If this doesn't move you and shock you, something's wrong with you. Jeremiah 5, verse 30, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. Wonderful and horrible. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, by their commentaries, by their brain. And my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? That verse is that verse right there that the mother produced in Israel. This is all because of the mother. Is so prevalent today everywhere. That is why when I, if you look on the YouTube videos and the thing, there's a video called War. I was so angry the day I made it. When I think about it, I get even more angry. I went and visited the Canton Christian Church and listened to that heretic, Van Voyevich, teach them people what was so nauseating about it. Yes, he's teaching heresy, but everyone was loving it. They were loving it. Same thing going on today was going on 600 plus BC. 600 plus BC in Israel. I read it again. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesied falsely, And the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. You know, when I see all these goofballs on TV with their thousands out there in the audience, and I see what they're saying and I listen to it, it's so horrible. And I look on the faces of everybody in the audience and they're loving it. They don't care about the Bible. It is so hard. We're going to see. Do you know that God said in Jeremiah that he looked for a man that would stand in the gap for truth and plead his cause? He looked for a man. He says, run to and fro if you can find me. A man. A man. Where is that verse? Chapter 5, since we're here, look at verse 1. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof. Let me just spit out my Bible. If you can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. Any man. And you know what? He answers that. In Ezekiel, he says, I sought for a man to stand in the gap, and he tells Ezekiel, and I found none. Zero. Well, as long as I'm sucking air in the land of the living, that's not going to happen here. I guarantee you. I don't care who... You know what? Someone told me the other day, you know what? Do you think the people are getting kind of offended and things like that? You know, I'm telling you right now, listen to me. I don't preach and teach the Bible to please anybody except my Father and my Savior. And God, the Holy Spirit in me, stirs me up. When I look at the verses, I'm just totally submissive to this book. And when it gets angry, I get angry. When it gets loving, I get loving. You notice how I adjust to the passages. That's because I'm following what God the Holy Spirit is writing. So you got to be like that. Don't ever satisfy yourself by looking for something. The prophets prophesy falsely and the priests bear rule by their means. The prophets are preaching lies. The priests are bearing rule by their means. Their human viewpoint, their commentaries, and my people love to have it so. And look at the question, what will you do in the end thereof? You know what you'll do in the end thereof? You'll burn in a lake of fire forever. That's what you'll do in the end thereof. And God calls it a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. Wonderful and horrible. How can those two words be used there? A wonderful and horrible, because you don't understand wonderful. You don't understand what that word means. Man, now, what time we got? Here in Jeremiah chapter 6, I am now going to read you what is the chief goal. Listen, if you get nothing from this entire series of lessons, get this. Here is the chief goal of the false system, of this mother system. Her chief goal. Chief. This is what she strives for ultimately. Her ultimate goal. Verse 10. Look at verse 9. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall throughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. You see, people don't love the Bible today. People in the scriptures alone, Bible school do. But I know the reason why I'm getting angry, not at you all that loving it, okay? Not you all in the fellowship and the faithful students. I'm not angry at you. I'm talking to the heretics who I know who are watching this for reasons of whatever, okay? Just like the Pharisees and Sadducees watched the Lord when he was here. Psalm 37:32 says it. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay them. Trying to catch something out of their mouth. It ain't going to happen there, bozos. Look at this. People here in verse 10. The word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. They don't love the Bible. They don't love the Bible. It's a reproach. Scumbags. Verse 11. Therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. See, that's why I get so irritated when I talk to people and I put down the verses from the Word of God and they don't love what they read. I get absolutely incensed by that. You should love that book. Therefore, I am full of the fear of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. See, right there, I'm weary with holding in. That's why I became a Bible teacher. I first started reading the Bible to get saved myself. Then I loved it so much, and I just was reading it for my own personal enjoyment. Then I thought everybody understood truth. And wherever I went, I started listening to people. Everybody was different. And I didn't know. So I said, you know, I'm going to read it myself. So I'm weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. Now watch this. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. You know, and people tell me today, how can you say that all these pastors are wrong? That's so arrogant. That's so rude. You know, well, then who is wrong? If it was true in Israel's time, and it's worse today in these last days, who's wrong then? No one, according to these spineless so-called excuses for men out there. Now, here's the chief goal. The chief goal. These false prophets, these false priests, their teachers were wrong. Watch what they were teaching the people. Here's the chief goal of the mother. They have healed, verse 14, you better listen. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, this is what the false prophets were saying, peace, peace. When there is no peace. You see that deception? False teachers in Israel's time, they were telling the people, and God says, you have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. You're telling the people, peace, peace, everything's fine. Don't worry. Don't worry about that loudmouth fat preacher, Martin Richling. Don't worry about him. Everything's fine. Peace, peace. When there is no peace, let me tell you what, right now between God Almighty and unsaved people, there is no peace. Right now between God Almighty and people who think they're saved, believing another gospel like Romans 10, there is no peace. Do you got it? And all these false teachers and false preachers out there who don't even believe in the King James Bible, they don't believe in it at all. They go out there and preach by their own means. They have all these things that they want to say, all these things they want to do, their agendas, and just play in church. There is no peace. They're comforting their flock right there by saying, don't worry, peace, peace. God loves you. Don't worry, everything is going to be fine. When there is no peace, there is none. Zero. Now you're saying, well, is that true today? It is 10 zillion times worse today because it is more subtle today. It is more horribly afraid because God is not dealing with the planet like he did with Israel by punishing them physically on the earth for their transgressions, carrying them away into Babylon and destroying the nation. He's not doing that today. He says this, I gave you my book, you turned from it, goodbye. That's why Romans 1 says, wherefore he gave them up, he gave them up, he gave them over to their own selves. That's why it's worse. Nothing happens and you think you're okay. You think it, don't you? That is the chief goal of the false religious system. Peace, peace. The mother wants you to think that. That when you're sitting there in your little church, wherever you're going, peace, peace. When in reality, when there is no peace. That is the chief goal of the mother. Jeremiah now, chapter 7. Watch this. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. They're just trusting in the temple. For if ye truly amend your ways, truly means right from the inside out. For if ye truly amend your ways and your doings, if ye truly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Every one of these people out there who are reading an English Bible other than a King James, you need to understand verse 8. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. That's not a Bible. That's not God Almighty's Bible. That's Satan's Bible. That's a counterfeit. That's what the mother, the main thing the mother uses is her Bibles out there. Will you steal, verse 9, murder and commit adultery and swear falsely and burn incense unto Baal and walk after other gods whom you know not? And come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. God has delivered us so we can go do all these sins. That's how people abuse grace today, the real believers. The real believers abuse grace saying that. Is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I have seen it, saith the Lord. But go ye now unto my place which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now, because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not. And I called you, but ye answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house which is called by my name, wherein ye trust. Y'all trust and go into your church buildings, don't you? You see that? The mother does the same thing today. People just trust the fact that they go into their church buildings and their pastor's okay. They're okay. And unto the place which I have gave to you and to your fathers as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me. For I will not hear thee. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? Don't you see what's going on? The children gather wood and the fathers kindle the fire. You got a whole family affair going on here. You got the children gathering wood and the fathers kindle the fire and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven. To the who? To the queen of heaven. How come Roman Catholicism calls Mary the queen of heaven? This was around 600 plus BC, 600 plus, close to 700 something BC. And they're burning incense, making cakes to the queen of heaven. Cakes, little cakes to the queen of heaven. You know what that priest puts in your mouth at communion, that little wafer, that little cake? To the queen of heaven. There's a Catholic church in Chicago called Queen of Heaven. There's a cemetery called Queen of Heaven in Chicago. Where do you get this title? From the book of Jeremiah. And this is the mother. See, the mother today who puts those titles on things is the mother back here in Jeremiah's days. And to pour out drink offerings unto other gods that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, God says, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? We're going to see how confused they look when the Lord comes back on that white horse and they're on the receiving end of that flaming fire. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man and upon beast and upon the trees of the field and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice. You better obey the Bible. Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. See, you're always moving. They're going backward, not forward, but they think they're going forward. Just like the churches today. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Just like today. I can't tell you how many people I try and teach the Bible to. They don't listen. They do not listen, but a lot do. They will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. You don't like being corrected, do you? A man on Facebook, I'm not going to say your name. You don't like the fact that I corrected you there, did you? You better. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. You see that? Truth is perished. Verse 29, cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on high places, for the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. God never thought such a thing. It didn't come to his heart. He didn't command Israel to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire. Then why didn't he stop them? Why didn't God? Why is the world such an evil place? Why didn't God intervene? Because he values your free will, and you need to choose. God puts before all of us right and wrong, salvation and hell, and you choose. That's how much he values free will. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place, and the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth, and none shall fray them away. Then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. That is the result of following the mother in the Old Testament. It's worse today. It is so worse today. Now, let's end in Jeremiah 10. Jeremiah 10, which is 600 plus, 700 so BC, who knows exactly when? Don't listen to the commentaries. I just know that I can figure out in the Bible some years. Verse 1. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. Alright, so look what God says to do. Learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. Don't you do what the heathen are doing, Israel. Watch what they were doing. Verse 3. For the customs of the people are vain. Look at what the customs of the heathen were. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They go into the forest, they cut down a tree. They deck it with silver and with gold. What does that sound like? They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. That sounds like a tree stand. Do you know of anybody around December 20th, the 18th, the month of December, goes into the forest, cuts down a tree,